Are you wandering in the wilderness? Or are you a voice in the wilderness? Welcome to the Revival Cry Podcast. This is your host, Eric Miller. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The goal of this podcast is to encourage you to use the voice God has given you to make Jesus famous. Every week, we will share principles from the Word of God, interviews, and encouragement in order to strengthen your voice. Thank you for joining me today. And now here is today's podcast. Well, welcome everyone to Revival Cry today. We're so happy that you would join us. This is Eric Miller. I'm your host today, and I have an extremely special guest with me today. My pastor, Pastor Ron Routon. He and his wife, Florence, have made a huge impact. Their whole family really has on introducing us to Jesus. If it wasn't for them planting and watering the seeds of the gospel within our lives, there's no way we would be doing the things that we have been able to do by the grace of God. So praise the Lord. Listen, if you're watching on our YouTube channel or you're listening by podcast or on the Hope Radio Network, we're so thankful that you're with us today. So Pastor Ron, would you give everybody a little detail about your background, your testimony, how you came to the Lord?
I was working for DuPont Company for 21 years, and the Lord called me into ministry. I went home and told my wife after 2 weeks. I prayed about it for a couple weeks and said, "I think the Lord's called us into ministry." She said, "How can we do that? That's going to require money." We were sort of attached to that monthly check from DuPont. But after 6 months, I knew I could not do it without her. After 6 months, she got the call, so, and she said, "Yes, you're right, we're called to ministry." So then I applied to go to Princeton. I wrote a letter to five different pastors to see, I thought there'd be a thread running between them about where I should go to seminary. None of them mentioned the same seminary, which was a shock to me.
Yeah.
But I'd just been at a church in Illinois that had called the pastor there. I was on a nominating committee there. He came there, and he said, "You're going to encounter the world in ministry. You need to go to a seminary where you're going to encounter the world." He said, "Now, probably Gordon Conwell will best suit you theologically. It's conservative." He said, "But I would recommend you go to Princeton." Princeton University. And I was on a seven-year plan with DuPont Company, 7 years in New Jersey, 7 years in Chicago, 7 years in corporate office in Wilmington, Delaware. I applied in April that year to go to Princeton. They said, "No, we're not going to be able to accept you because we've already got 90 people that have accepted."
Wow.
And that's how many we could take. So I said, "No, I think this is a year because I'm on a seven-year plan with God." I was just joking. They said, "No, not this year, next year." I went to a Presbyterian Reform Renewal Ministry International, started by Brad Long. I was at the Miller Chapel at Princeton, and the Lord gave me three words: "Enter the gates, enter the gates." I said, "Lord, if I speak those three words, will you give me the rest of them?" He didn't answer. Because prophecy is a word of faith. You got to step out in faith. And as you step out, I don't think everyone's ever given the total prophecy. They're given the first few sentences.
Right.
And then as they speak it forth, he gives you more. Time came, and I said, "Enter the gates." And when I did, the man was sitting beside me while he put his hand on my leg. The pastor down front said, "For the doors have been opened for you to come and learn of me."
Wow.
So I knew that Princeton had opened the doors for me to come. 2 weeks later, I got a letter from the president saying, "Yes, I've been accepted." And I called him back and said, "Yeah, I know it. And I knew it 2 weeks earlier. And when I get there, I'll let you know why." And so I started Princeton. And then from there, I graduated 3 years later. It was around 83, I think I went there. And so 86, I traveled around the country to churches. They said, "If you will have your dossier written by February of the year you graduate, you'll get a call." Now, I'm 51 years old at the time.
You're starting to go to ministry school when you're 51.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm one of the older people in the class.
Yeah.
I had my dossier in by December, not February the following year, December. No calls. Started traveling around the country, put a sign on the front of my car, "Home sweet home." My car was going to be our home for a while. Traveled around the country, went to Iowa, went to Denver, Colorado. Ohio, Illinois, North Carolina, New Jersey, and New York State. And every place I went, the Lord was using me as a prophetic voice.
Prophetically, okay. Yeah, but here you are, growing up in North Carolina, and then coming to the Lord, going to Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and then you've made a lot of money. You're now going to Princeton for 3 years for your Master of Divinity. And then from that point on, you end up going to New York.
Right.
You're pastoring Ridgebury Presbyterian Church and the Denton
That's right.
Presbyterian Church.
No, no one wants to pastor two churches, but that's all I could get. So
wow.
I went up there, I walked in the Denton Church, and I realized the Lord's call us here.
The Ridgebury Presbyterian Church, how old was the church?
Well, we celebrated 225 years while I was there.
225 years in the 90s.
That's right.
That's a very old building. You are in this Presbyterian church. We had pipe organs, pews, the hymn numbers on the side. You wore a robe when you would minister. But the unique thing that my family encountered was that you were not just this religious leader. You actually were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you were very open to the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, healing, signs, and wonders. Our family didn't know any of that. Like, we said we're Catholic, but we went to church twice a year, you know, Christmas and Easter. We had no idea what that speaking in tongues or prophecy or believing for healing, that just was as foreign to us as Islam. And we have a blended family. My mom married my stepfather, Jim, and I think it was about a year that you knocked on the door of our house pretty much weekly, inviting us to come to church. What made you so determined that you would want to invite us like that?
Well, actually, it's your dad or your stepdad,
right.
Jim Hostley. Jim came, and I was doing a sermon. It was titled, A Spoonful or a Bucket. It had to do, would you rather be blessed spoonfuls or bucketfuls? For with the measure you use, so will it be measured unto you, when it talks about that.
Wow.
So Jim was having a bad time stretching his life. They had not paid their rent for 2 or 3 months, and he was self-employed. And he turned to the mother, Linda, at the time, and said, if what he's saying is true, I'm going to put everything I got on my wallet
wow.
plate. He had $400 in his, he took and emptied his wallet in the plate, $400.
Wow.
And then after that, knowing someone, and I said, well, there's only one person there, so it had to be him. So that's what took me down there. Now, at the time, your mother and he were having a tough time in their marriage. They were
right.
not speaking to each other. And I realized that as I got down there, something's wrong here, the atmosphere is not right. As I talked to them about coming to church and all that sort of thing, what God can do, I said, let's pray, let's hold hands. She took your father's hand for the first time in months.
Wow.
And at that time, something happened to the two of them. And I realized that. They didn't say anything to me, but I realized, well, not if something just happened. That started coming to church.
So they end up coming to church, and I think it was within a year that we all were introduced to the Lord.
That's right.
And we're going to church now. My mom, my stepfather, Jim, me, my brother, my stepbrother, Jimmy. This is such a radical change for us because we just never went to church. And then now that we're going, there's things that are happening that it seems like more divine appointments. And then you invite us to go to this camp called CFO. Stands for Camps Farthest Out. They're all over the world. And there was one that you specifically would go to at Messiah College in Grantham, Pennsylvania. And I remember the first time we went there, I think there was probably about 400 plus people on the way there. He was driving his Lincoln Town Car. He told us boys, he says, look, if this is no fun and it's boring, we'll leave. Hershey Park is down the road.
That's right.
And we said, yeah, we're going to go to Hershey Park. We don't want to go to a church thing. Yeah. We get there. Beginning of the week, we walk in. People are worshiping. They're raising their hands. I'm going, what is this? I'm a teenager. You know, I have a bad attitude and all these things. These people are weird. They're out of their mind. What are we doing here? Little be knows to us, by the end of the week, all of us are crying. All of us are broken. God is touching us. I'm getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have no idea what's going on, yet it's like this divine interruption is taking place in our lives. We go back and, you know, go through high school and everything. You continue to mentor our family, you and Miss Florence. Your daughters, Dana and Holly, were so instrumental in introducing us, discipling. Even during that time of first hearing the gospel when I was 14, struggling with sin, habitual sin. Mm-hmm. And I've shared many times on this podcast and radio program how the Lord set me free from that in August of 97. My parents end up moving to Delaware. I end up following them, becoming a youth pastor at their local Pentecostal church, which was totally different to us as well, because we were now coming from a charismatic Presbyterian church to a Pentecostal denomination. In short, I'm there 3.5 years. I end up standing in front of the congregation repenting for an addiction to pornography for several years. Mm-hmm. I had enough of the gospel in me to know what I was doing was sin and was wrong, but just could not break through. When I repented that Sunday, I walked down the aisle to meet my wife, Casey, at the back door, and it was like I had chains with hooks in my flesh just pulled off me. Mm-hmm. I was never the same since then. Mm-hmm. We end up going to the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. I end up coming back to New York to meet with you one day, and we sat on your back porch of your house. You were still there in New York. Like a father, you begin to just really ask me questions, basically where we're at, you know, to understand what's taken place in us in these years. And you expressed concern to me about me going to take this youth pastor job. You didn't feel like I was ready. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember even consulting you. Mm-hmm. I probably would have saved my life if I had honored those who God was putting into my life to speak into my life.
I remember the conversation to a degree. 85, so I don't remember everything, but I remember that. I did not think that you were equipped for it.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be, no matter how successful you were going to be, it would burn out.
Yes.
And which is what happened, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And you had to give it up. So that was my concern. And sometimes when people burn out, they never go back.
That's
they
right.
Try. Well, it was an honorary thing to be here at this age with not any schooling or anything to be
right.
Put in this position. That would be hard to say no to.
Sure.
Once you found yourself. But
right.
I was concerned about you as a person
yeah.
because they did not think spiritually you were ready. And it turned out to be true. And I was concerned what will happen if it falls apart. And it did.
And it did.
Yeah. Most pastors that go to CFO do not take their congregations.
Yes, that's right.
They use it as a vacation to get away from the congregation.
Yeah.
I said, hey, I could change my whole church.
You know, yes.
Because how many sermons will I have to preach to learn as much as you can get in intensity in 1 week's time?
Hmm.
So every year I would take a whole bus full of people up there, 50-some people at a time
right.
to CFO. And that changed our church. And then another time, I remember coming back from CFO filled with the Spirit. And no one had ever seen anyone at church rest in the Spirit before. I stood in front of the congregation. I started calling people forward. The whole front of the church was filled up, and the whole main aisle was filled up with people. Everyone at church went down in spirit.
Wow. This is a Presbyterian church that is not, nor for some of you that are charismatic Pentecostal, you know, maybe used to seeing people rest in the spirit, fall out in the spirit, slay in the spirit, as we call it. It's when the glory of the Lord comes in, people are asking, you know, what are you doing, Lord, in our lives? And that's what he's talking about, is these things started to take place.
That's right. It happened that week. The next week came back, same thing happened. And I said, well, if this keeps going on, we're going to have trouble. It never happened again. Never wow. happened again. Now, there are a single person here that might go down, but not, never in mass like that. So something happened, and I think the Lord just showing his power.
Yes.
You know, and it was I was as surprised as people were that day, and then I started teaching on it. That just naturally gets you into the things of the Spirit, what the Spirit is capable. You cannot stand. The power
That's right.
of God is there. You cannot stand. Matter of fact, the first time I even saw anyone rest in the Spirit was up at CFO. Father Francis of McNutt was there and Wayne West. Said there were about 400 and some people there. And they said, anyone that wants an extra dose or extra measure or something new, come into the cafeteria this evening after service. 200 of us went in there. 100 one line, 100 the other line. And they started going
just praying for people.
Praying for people. And everyone went down except for two people.
Wow.
200 people, everyone but two people went down. So I was so excited. I was one of the ones who went down. And I could have gotten up any time I wanted to, but I was so, the Spirit was just like waves washing over me. Cleansing. I didn't want to get up. And I don't think most people would get up. But when I decided to get up, I got up. I went back to the dormitory there at Messiah College. And I said, man, you guys got to go over there. Something's going on over there.
Yeah.
And I said, I had two doctor friends. One was Dr. Bob Myers, the other was Dr. Bob Thomas. And Bob Myers said, like this, well, what's happened is people are emotionally, they're standing erect and they're locking their legs. But if you keep moving, that will not happen. I said, well, Bob, you go over there. So Bob and the two Bobs went over there, and my wife and their wives went over there. Well, Bob got up and started.
He's
moving around. He's making it wrong. There's no blood stagnant anywhere in his body. He's moving around. And he's just moving his legs, his arms, and everything, and the other Bob doing the same thing. And I think Wayne West got about 10 feet from him, put his hand up, and Bob went down. And so everyone
couldn't deny it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When God wants to move, he can move anytime he wants to.
Yes.
And so that's what I learned. But taking all these people to CFO, introduced them to Spirit very quickly.
Yes.
And then, you know, you got the, and they came back and they became the minion in the church to grow and grow and grow and introduce other people. Matter of fact, we did not even have, everything was from the hymnal. And we had a screen to drop down. My wife and I would lead worship with a couple of other people. And we put a transparency on the screen, and we said, we're going to worship Lord. And that's the way we started.
I remember us singing those old Hosanna Integrity songs, the old Don Moen songs. I just really believe there's some people listening today that you were touched by God in your local church, and you may have not understood everything that was taking place, but maybe some weeks, months, years have gone by. You remember a special gathering you went to, like we're talking about CFO, like a retreat of some sort, where the Holy Spirit touched you, a youth retreat or what have you. But then you had encounters with God later on in life that you could not deny, and ever since then you've been totally changed. That's what really happened to us. I believe there were things that God was doing in me personally when we were being impacted by your ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that was so essential in laying foundations that I would be sensitive to what God wanted to do in our lives, not only for us to experience Him for ourselves, so that we would have vision to go out and change the world for Jesus. You guys would support us to go on these. Campus Crusade had a high school ministry called Student Venture.
That's right.
And three of us from New York, me, Holly, and Cameron, I think, went. Might have been one more person, maybe Helena. And we all went to Minnesota. And there's 1,500 young people there. And by the end of the week, the Spirit of God was moving so powerfully. And I'm hearing about missions. And I have little understanding of what missions even means. I thought it was like just humanitarian efforts of some sort. And then eventually I remember going back one year to Minnesota again, and we were at a Michael W. Smith concert, and he's playing this song called Cry for Love. And while he's playing this song on the screen, all these pictures of faces of children are flashing one after another. And the song is, "Can you hear me? I'm crying out, a cry for love." It absolutely broke me. I had no idea what it meant. And little did I know that years later, we'd have a feeding program that feeds 100 kids for the last 16 years. There's always two things that I remember that you taught us. One is how to hear the voice of God. Listening, we would take the creative at CFO on listening, on writing with Georgie Campbell, and I will never forget. That was absolutely foundational for my life. The other thing was the sovereignty of God. You would talk about the sovereignty of God, how God was in control, how he knows our beginning and where we're at and where we're going. And it always made me sense that even when I failed God, there was this security I can have in the Lord that he knows what he's doing with
me.
And if I come to him in continual repentance and making it a lifestyle, not a one-time event, God would filter the junk out of my life, and then fruit would be produced. When we went to the Brownsville Revival years later, the very scripture that's become my favorite scripture that I saw in action every day, people running to the altar every day, 300-400 people to repent, to get right with Jesus. 5 years, over 4.5 million people came to the doors of that church. It was a repentance message every week. I remember the one scripture and asking God, what does repentance do? And teaching it as a lifestyle to me, he showed me Matthew 3:8, produce fruit while keeping with repentance. In other words, repentance is a lifestyle. If I'll just continually ask the Lord to create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me, and listen to his voice, somehow, some way, maturity is going to take place, and I'm going to see the sovereignty of God. I know by a shadow of a doubt that this is exactly what you've really imparted into my life and to our family. And now my kids love Jesus. My wife loves Jesus. They have grandparents who love Jesus. We have sisters and brothers who love Jesus. It's tremendous.
Well, you know, basically, God doesn't have a plan A and B. He's on plan A.
Yeah.
And when he calls you to do something, you're going to do it. You're
going
to have to do it. And he might have to wait and wait and wait, but you're going to get there and you will do it eventually.
Amen.
So he's not going to give up on you and say, well, okay, I'll get someone else to do it. No, he doesn't do that.
That's right.
So a call that's on your life is on your life. He's not going to call anyone else to do it. And he will wait and he will work on you until you come to the point that you have to do it or you die.
Amen.
Now, a good place to start, I think, I remember being a Ronald Reagan's president's prayer breakfast. Louis Plow was there, Billy Graham was there, Chuck Colson was there, and others. I've heard Billy Graham, I've heard Chuck Colson read their books, but I don't know anything about Louis Plow, so I'll go to his place. Went in there, and he told me the scripture where nothing was happening in his life. He gave us a scripture from the book of Luke. He who is faithful in little will be also faithful in much. He who is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. And he said, and he started praying that prayer. And God gave him a little thing. He was faithful. Gave him something bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the way he just blew him up. And he was introduced to the president of the Columbia and took off. Well, on the way home, I told Forrest, I said, you know, I'm going to pray that prayer. Because nothing was happening in my life at the time. I was living in a new church in Pennsylvania, and nothing was happening. Before that, I was telling Eric earlier, had a five-year experience that every prayer I prayed was answered, just like I prayed it. But then I went through a six-year desert experience that no prayer I prayed was answered. God wanted me to walk by faith and not by sight.
Wow.
So I prayed the prayer, Lord, help me to be faithful in it. 2 days after I got back, the president, the superintendent of Sunday school, called me up. Her name was Jean, don't want to say her last name, but I'm not even sure she was a Christian. And she said, I was trying to teach adults, but none of the adults would come. So after a while, I gave up because my whole Bible study was coming. I said, and we would meet every Sunday night anyhow. I said, why do it Sunday morning, Sunday night? So I just gave it up because the session would not approve the adult Sunday school. She called and she said, would you and Florence teach the first and second grade? I said, Jean, let me pray about that. and the health fair, and I said, isn't that something? She wants to teach the first and second grade. Now, that was a small thing to me. But not to God,
right.
First and second people, great people. So my wife, well, Ronald, you did pray. Give me a little thing. So I said, well, yeah, right. So I called back, Gene, I'd be happy to teach first and second grade. 1 year went by. Next year, would you teach second, third grade? I mean, third and fourth grade. He'd happen to teach third grade. Next year, would you teach sixth grade? Yep. Next year, would you teach junior high? Yep. I didn't even have to say, I'm going to pray about it. And finally, will you teach the senior highs? At the time, we called a pastor to teach the senior highs, seven kids. He said, there's no senior high kids in this church. And I took those seven kids, and 1 year it was 120 kids.
Wow.
We took 120 kids on a retreat to the Poconos. 60 of them raised their hand to receive Christ.
Wow.
But at that point, I said, Lord, I'll be exactly where you want me to be. I'm not adult ministry. You want me to be with kids. I'll be here the rest of my life. And the next day, or within a week, I'm on my little Mercedes driving home from work with two other guys in the car, talking about other things. And the Lord said, go into the ministry.
Wow.
And so that was my first call to go into the ministry.
Wow.
So I thought being a senior adult Sunday school teacher was what he wanted me to be. No, he wanted me to be a pastor.
That's amazing. You know, and you were in your 40s when you received calling and then became a pastor in the 50s. You know, as we're coming to the end here today, I just want to encourage you, friend, if there's anything that you're thinking about with your life, can God use me? You know, I don't have enough education. I don't have the family that's supportive. I don't have the finances, you know. I don't have the mentors. I just want to tell you, if there's anything I've learned from Pastor Ron, you know, and Paul said you've had many teachers but not many fathers. Mm-hmm. He's been a father in the faith to our family for years. And if there's one thing I can encourage you with today is that God hears you. He knows where you're at. And Pastor Ron, I want to ask you, if you just take this last minute here and just challenge our folks to encourage them, no matter where they're at, you know, whatever's on your heart to say.
Well, I think that prayer, he who is faithful a little will be also faithful much. He who is unfaithful a little will be unfaithful much. Is a good place to start. Say, Lord, give me a little thing. Don't give it too big. I can't handle it. Give me something small that I can identify you gave it to me and be faithful to it. That's a good beginning. Don't try to start as a preacher or something or a leader. Maybe he wants you to clean toilets. I don't care what he wants you to do. But whatever he says, do it. And you will see how he will use that in your life.
Amen. Yeah. So whatever he's put in your hand to do, do it. Be faithful in little, and God will give you much. Friend, that's been the story of my life. I believe God wants us to build testimony after testimony so that when we look back, we recognize that it really wasn't all us up to us, but yet it was our faithfulness, which is our agreement with God's Spirit working within us, that he brings us to a place of obedience on a continual basis. Listen, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Pastor Ron, for being with us.
Thank you for honoring me.
Friend, don't give up. Go after God.
That's right.
You're loved in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Revival Cry with Eric Miller. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To find out more or partner with our missions work around the world, please visit us at revivalcry.org. I look forward to being with you next week.